They say this beach here is pure evil. They say that at night, a were-clam stalks this beach.
Come on, old man. Everyone knows were-clams aren't real.
Oh, youth. That's what I used to think when I was your age. Huh. Is that a full moon?
So what?
Oh my god, he's turning into a were-clam! Run, run, run!
Why don't we just cook him?
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to another episode of Ragnarok. This is episode 27, an interview with Deb Reed or Ancient Druidic Cheesecake.
Those are my favorite kind of cheesecake.
Yeah, definitely. Especially cheesecakes made with metal.
Mm. I love the green icing.
This is from one of my ancient recipes.
It's
so, folks,
only
in case
the best.
You haven't been able to guess by the bizarre discussion we just had, the title. Today we are going to be interviewing Deborah Reed, who played what was the name? Credence Leonor Gielgud of Ancient Druidic Origins in one of our favorite movies, Troll 2. I am Ed.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Eric.
I'm Ar.
I hate you, Ed.
Why do you hate me?
You cut him off, you douche.
I was making a great joke and you just steamrolled me.
Oh, I
was just sitting here laughing for the last minute.
Go ahead, make your joke.
No, the moment's passed.
It's done.
I
want to
hear it.
No, it's too late. It was gonna be a great joke about cream cheese, you know, the cheesecake, but it's too late now.
Come on, Alex. I love a good cream cheese joke. Here, let's rewind time.
Alex is taking that joke to his grave, Ed.
I hate you so much, Ed. I really wanted to hear that.
Maybe I'll post it online for all of our fans later.
If you want to hear what Alex's cream cheese joke is.
You know what? If you really want to hear my cream cheese joke, post in the comments. And maybe if I get enough, you know, people requesting my cream cheese joke.
Maybe we'll finally get some comments.
You should tweet it. You actually should tweet something.
Yeah.
You actually need a Twitter or something.
I don't know. My cream cheese joke might be more than 140 characters.
That's true.
I know they say, you know, brevity is the art of comedy, but I don't know.
I don't think we're going to top the cream cheese joke in our banter, so why don't we just get started and play the interview?
All right, let's do that.
All right. We'll be right back with an interview with Deb Reed, folks. Welcome back to Ragnarok, and we are very excited. We have with us the queen herself, Deborah Reed, better known as Credence Leonor Gielgud of Ancient Druidic Origin. She is...
From the movie Troll 2.
She's our troll queen, so...
Thank you very much for being here, Deborah.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
So, yeah, we just were hoping to ask you a couple of questions about your experiences with Troll 2, because it's a movie that we really love. We actually just finished watching it again.
Make sure it was fresh.
Make sure it was
well, it was my first time. But...
It was Eric's first.
Are you serious? Yeah. That is so funny.
Yeah. No, but it's one of those movies.
I thought it would be fun, and I turned on Netflix, and so I silently just turned it on, and it's on as we speak.
Oh, really? Well, cool.
Well, that's the right thing to be watching.
I have to say, if I was in a movie, I would just put it on and watch it all the time.
Everyone comes over Ryan's house. Hey, Ryan, what's that? Oh, it's just my movie.
It's the film I was in.
For the people listening who don't know, Troll 2 is an exceptionally wonderful and fun
movie that we all love. It's like I said, it's Eric's first time. It's one of those movies where if somebody doesn't see it, you drop everything you're doing and make them watch it right then and there.
My wife didn't appreciate that when she was in labor. But that's be done.
Well, she hadn't seen it. What are you going to do?
I know.
So the first question that we have for you, Deborah, is how did you end up with the role of Credence in Troll 2?
Well, I was with an agency,
mm-hmm.
and as you do, you get a cattle call.
Right.
And cattle call for those. Anyway, that just means you go on an interview, you know, for a part for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, it is kind of like cattle, because if it's big enough, there's a lot of people. And for this one, it was up in Park City in a hotel. And I thought, well...
Now, let me interrupt. Sorry, Park City, that's in Utah?
Park City, Utah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's where they have, you know, the big Sundance Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and so... you know, you go on a lot of these, but it did sound really intriguing to me. They said, you know, you're going to be trying for the part of, like, a witch or something, and that is my nature. I've always, all my life, I've liked to, you know, costume up and
mm-hmm.
be a vampire, be a witch,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. Be whatnot, anything crazy, or superhero. But, and... So I thought, well, this is right up my alley. So, but I got there, and literally there were, from all of the agencies, you know, in town, people were just lined up sitting,
wow.
You know, hundreds of people.
Wow.
Waiting, and I thought, okay, this will be a while, and I'm sure I should have even come, you know. Interestingly also, you know, what happens... Often when filmmakers are looking for someone, they'll go through the agency's books and they look for, you know, pictures that they think, well, this is kind of what I'm looking for.
Right.
And
sure, sure.
Say, I want this and this and that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was an instructor, acting and modeling instructor at the time, and so my son just sort of ended up along, you know, in the agency. He did try out, and they accepted him, and he was in the book. Well, strangely, my son was also called to the audition.
Oh, wow.
So we both went up, and we're both going, oh, boy. So we sat down, plunked ourselves, you know, up against a wall, and waited a very long time. And he went in first and came out, and I said, how was it? And he said, I don't know. They asked me to make a bunch of goofy faces. I said, okay. And finally, it was my turn, and I went in, and it was very interesting. There were a lot of Italians not
really
speaking hardly a word of English. And they were kind of saying, you know, sit here. Here's the camera, and they put a big fan on me. And, it was really weird because I suddenly looked at the doorway, and there were all these people watching me, you know, a lot of my, you know, friends and fellow actors. And anyway, and they said, say this line. And for those of you that have seen it, it was one of the famous, infamous, if you will, lines. And I thought, you know, what the heck? And I just... gave it everything I had. I'm just trying to think of the line now. It was a big screaming line, I can tell you that. One of the ones I was really had, and I just went for it, and looking right into the camera and my hair blowing, and somebody made a comment. Actually, no, that was later. Never mind. It was kind of funny, but anyway. It was after I got the part. But, so, you know, and they said, well, thank you very much. And it was, I think, about 2 weeks later
mm-hmm.
that I got a call. And they said, well, you got the part.
Awesome.
I said, wow, you should just call back. You know?
And your son.
And I said, oh, that's cool, you know, because, wow, as I say, I love monsters.
And if I'm not mistaken, your son played the little boy who was part of the goblin family, correct?
Right. So, and they said, and so did your son. He got a part. And I said, really? And we had no idea what that meant. And I remember when he got home from school or something, I told him, and I said, guess what, Gavin? I got the part. And he goes, oh, and he looked a little disappointed. But right. He said, that's great, Mom. So did you, you know? Oh, wow.
It's a nice coming home present.
Yeah. So he did. Any of you that have seen it, he's seen a lot, really, in the trailer and everything. Mm-hmm. He's one of the present son, and he's the one that picks up the baseball that says, eat me or we'll eat you.
Right.
And tosses it and runs and jumps. And then later, so hence why they asked him to make all the faces is because later when the preacher is yelling at everybody, in the audience, you know, screaming, and the crowd, they're making faces because of the cholesterol. So those are Gavin's big moments, anyway.
Cool.
But so I got the script, and I was reading the script, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, this looks crazy.
That's actually our next question.
The audition process sounds like a pretty surreal experience. How did you feel about the film while you were making it?
Well, as I say, the script was really surreal.
I can imagine.
This is really funny. You know, I thought it was pretty funny, but not everything was really in there as you would have expected. I mean, I got a few surprises for sure on my first day. I was on one scene.
That was your first day?
Yeah, the very first scene.
Wow.
But I know. You wouldn't believe all the things that happened to me. But when I first walked on the set, the first thing I saw, I remember I walked in this big room, and in some boxes were some goblin faces.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah,
heck, look at those.
Wonderful.
That is hilarious. what am I doing here? This is so funny. But I mean, I was glad because I like that kind of thing. To me, and I've got to say, just reading the script, though, the line that was like... you know, no, the baloney, no, think of the cholesterol. I mean, immediately I knew this was my kind of movie because I knew it was camp.
You're right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's certainly camp. It's so great. And so, anyway, so making the movie for me, a lot of the other actors, I think, they thought, wow, we're in a cool monster movie and everything. And to me, I thought, this is just a riot. So I played it to the hilt, the camp, every bit of that. It was just too much fun. How many people get an opportunity to do that?
So your perception of it then as being sort of this cheesy horror movie affected your performance then? You played it differently than if you thought it was going to be like an actual horror movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. And I've always been camp. That's who I am. So it was perfect. It was a perfect fit.
I've seen a couple of your commercials where you play the old lady.
Yeah, there you go.
And that, you know, that has that camp value to it too.
I have to say, you know, 22 years later, seeing it from the other side, that definitely comes through because I think you were the only person in that film that was most certainly having fun. You know, 100% of the time you were on screen.
Yeah. I will say, I've said this before, and Ryan and I have both said this, that we're very excited because we're interviewing our favorite part of the movie.
Yes.
When they were introducing the movie to me, they're like, just wait until you see her character, you're going to fall in love with the character.
Yeah, you are.
It's true.
Absolutely, my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I had some crazy, horrific things happen to me where I was really injured, though.
And during the movie?
And like the scenes, I've got to say, you know, where they put those big yellow contacts in those. I mean, now with movie magic, you know, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've got nice little soft contacts. And those hurt like the dickens.
Wow.
They hurt like crazy, and my brother happened to be on set, and there was a little hospital in that town, up in the town of Morgan, where, you know, Nilbog.
Now, you say in the movie that there are no hospitals in Nilbog. It's one of your lines. So
that there are no what? I'm
you,
sorry,
you,
what?
You say there are no hospitals in Nilbog. It's one of your lines, and you just told me the town had a hospital.
Oh my gosh, I did! That's hilarious! I never
thought
of that.
One of your lines. There are no hospitals in Nilbog. Sorry,
is,
I didn't mean to.
That is that's so funny. What a, oh my gosh.
Great, the whole movie's a lie.
I never made that connection. That's so funny. Because, see, there's a little, it's not a hospital, it's like a little, almost like an insta-care, I think.
Okay, one of those emergency
and
care centers.
They had planned on having them insert, put those contacts in me, but they refused to do
goodness.
It. Oh. So my brother, being there, he wears contacts, he ended up putting them in me, but it was painful the second getting them in. But that's so funny, because I never made that connection.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we could help shed new light on it, then.
So, as Ryan said, 22 years later, has your opinion changed at all, or are you still of the opinion that it's a laugh riot, and it's this campy fun?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it took a long time before we ever got to see that thing.
Yeah, I heard.
And I believe it premiered at first, which was, I think, on HBO, which where it first came out. And oh, my gosh, it was crazy. The only thing I was really worried about is I wasn't sure how they were going to film the popcorn scene.
Right.
And that was my biggest fear and nightmare, because I was a little nervous about it anyway. So, you know, it wasn't as bad, really, as I was afraid, just the way they might have filmed it. I don't know, you know.
Oh, no, I understand.
Not that it was worse than what they showed. But when I saw it, I loved it, and I've loved it ever since. And it just is a whole lot of fun, and my fans are so amazing because I like to banter back and forth with my fans as though I truly am Creedence. how we do it, and it's just fun. It's fun. Yeah.
Oh,
did I answer your question?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
We were wondering, have you seen Michael Stevenson's documentary, The Best Worst Movie? And,
of course, yeah.
What do you think about the way the film Troll 2 was portrayed?
Well, I thought it was fine. I thought it was great. I was asked to be in it. I definitely was. A lot of people say, oh, we're upset you weren't in it. You know, weren't you asked? But they tried very hard to get me to be in it, and it was just really a matter of time and what I was involved with. I was taking care of my dad, and I was also doing a TV show. My husband and I had a TV show on air.
Oh, wow.
And it was just crazy time for me, and I am in the on the actual DVD version. At the very end there, I did go ahead and I did some stuff as a bonus feature for them. So.
Oh, wow. We'll have to track down that DVD.
We'll have to track it. I was sad.
I created my costume.
As was I.
So, I mean, how do you...
Yeah, it was great fun. I mean, absolutely. I felt a little sorry for Margot.
Yeah. That was a tough scene to watch.
Yeah, I felt sorry because I was very close to and loved all of my fellow... Nilbogians, in the movie. But, you know, I think on the other hand, I thought it showed her in a really sweet light how she was taking care of her mother.
I thought Michael Stevenson handled it well. Yeah. He wasn't making fun of her. He was portraying the truth. And
it was
hard to watch, but like I said, I don't think he was making fun of her, so I thought it was handled.
Yeah.
It was a documentary,
yeah.
And that's true. You're right, exactly right. And Michael's wonderful, and he's very talented, and did some amazing things there. And I went and saw with a lot of my fellow, actors, and saw that in one of the openings, had a great deal of fun.
So how do you feel about it being called the best worst movie?
Well, I think it's very accurate. I mean, I think it was brilliant, you know, that, and it was of them, and a lot of it is brilliant, and so, mm-hmm. Oh, there's Gavin. I just happened to look up and see it on the screen. That's my son, you know.
Right.
And there's Margo. you know, I haven't watched it a million times. I haven't seen it really from it in its entirety that many times. But more when people say, oh, we want to see that, you know, and we'll throw it on. And I always get a kick out of it. I really do.
How do you feel about, I mean, because, you know, it's been out there for, you know, 20-somewhat years now. And now that it's on Netflix and everything, it seems to be becoming more popular and more people are able to see it. So how do you feel about this fandom that has developed around the movie? Like this, this sort of cult following that has developed.
I think it's amazing. I mean, you know, and I've always said, if you couldn't be in the best movie in the world, you might as well be in the worst movie.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I mean, how cool is that? Mm-hmm. And you know, fellow nerds, I mean, my God, how cool is that? It's just so much fun. I say, the fans are just awesome. They're just fun. Love it.
Because there are movies out there that are just bad, and
yeah,
the movies that are just bad, you don't remember them, but you remember Troll 2.
This film is superlative.
Yeah,
it is.
You remember all of the strangeness of it, and the some of the decisions that the director made that are very bizarre. You remember it, and I think. You know, I'm glad that you've embraced it so much. And I think a couple of from the documentary, I think Robert Ornsby said something similar, that he said, "Yeah, I was in a really bad movie and I loved it."
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I think any bad movie, well, not any bad movie, I'd have to, you know, prove it on of it on certain levels, but would be fun to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's a riot.
Oh yeah.
You just get to be, let it all hang out, you know.
Right.
So now I know that you like to pretend, you like to talk like the Credence to your fans on your Facebook page. So how much into the character are you? Are you actually a vegetarian?
I am very close to it.
Really?
I actually am. Yeah. I'm not perfect, but I am very, very close on, well, I believe, holistically, I think it's good for you, mm-hmm. you know, on both levels. But as I am a huge animal lover.
That I know, yes. I've seen a bunch of your Facebook. You have a cat, right?
I have three cats.
You have three cats.
Black cats. How about
that? Oh.
Yeah, they are definitely my little trolls. Back to the vegetarian thing, though, I was just going to say, you know, I mean, I do believe in cage-free and, you know, and that kind of a thing. So if I do indulge, that's what I believe in.
I hope you don't get people and turn them into vegetable matter first before you go into salad or something.
Oh, I highly believe in turning anything into vegetable matter.
It is nutritious. You can't argue against that part.
Because then you get protein and vegetable matter.
Yep, there you go.
That's right. Yeah. So...
We had a Troll 2 party where we served green food. We made green mashed potatoes. We made corn on the cob with green butter.
Disgusting green meatloaf.
I made a meatloaf with green ketchup on it, and there was...
pesto.
There was spinach in it. And pesto. It was
horrible to look at.
It was horrible to look at. And it made us wonder if any working on the film gave you any aversion to green food, if you were able to stomach green food after the shoot.
That's funny. You know, I never thought about that. And no, I mean, I only eat green food.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Green food. But no, that never bothered me. Yeah, that was crazy, that scene, you know.
Okay, yeah, because some of that stuff is very unappetizing. You know, the green... The green, like, weird yogurty stuff that the guy gets fed in the beginning, and then...
And the weird butter on the corn.
Yeah. And, of course, see, they put something in my mouth in the end there that I had to throw up in that last scene.
Right, yeah. Mm.
You got pretty gunky at the end of the...
What was that?
You know, I have no idea. And it's funny when you ask me that because I really don't know what that was.
You know, you're probably better off that way.
Maybe so. Yeah, because I'm pretty fussy about what I will
put. Oh, yeah.
You know what it used to be the key grip.
You were in the moment. You just kind of had to do it.
Do you know what the milk was, what they made the Milbog milk out of?
I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Like you Ryan know, said, so you're probably better off.
I have a feeling they just got a container for milk and left it outside for a few weeks.
That I think my trolls do that in Milbog. That's one of the their little secrets. But you know, you were just so wrapped up. Had I known, really, what an amazing things would turn out to be, you know, so many years later, we would have probably all paid more attention.
Right.
To little things.
Oh yeah.
You know, and asked if we could have some props. And,
But you said earlier that when you auditioned, they just sort of stuck you in front of a camera, put a fan on you, and gave you a line to say. As you got into the script and sort of, you know, inhabited the character, how did you develop your performance as Credence?
You know, it's really funny, but all I really remember doing is, you know, I read through the script, and but everything was so impromptu, and I had no idea. I figured, you know, when I got there, that I would get some direction. Mm-hmm. They would tell us what
in English, hopefully.
And we really didn't get very much direction. I mean, hardly any at all, except, you know, say your lines, and if they didn't like it, but I guess. I mean, I've heard from, you know, since that, I don't know, all kinds of things about the director and whatnot. And, but for me, I was almost a one-take wonder. There were few lines that they had me do twice.
That's good.
And there were a few in there, but I really just kind of from the start, I just thought, okay, well, I'm winging it and just kind of went for it. So I have no idea. I really didn't prepare.
It was just an off-the-cuff performance.
Well, you definitely went for it.
Yeah.
I just sort of did it. And, it, you know, I've always played weird characters and just had fun and not trying to do anything that's perfected and maybe consistent even. Because I just had fun with it and went for it and did it.
Well, you certainly showed your commitment and your energy.
Oh, gosh. There are some lines that I think, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I really do, but what are you going to do? But that's why I think, actually, that it turned out so well, because we all did so horribly.
Now I got to ask... do you know what was supposed to be happening in the popcorn scene? And if so, could you explain it to us?
Well, if I knew, I would tell you.
Okay, so we're not the only ones.
Because there was an ear of corn, and then there was popcorn. Right? And
you know, that is what was one of the surprises to me, is that I don't remember that being in the script. Not at all.
The popcorn?
And, yeah, I mean... if it was, I couldn't have possibly imagined it the way it was.
I'm just thinking maybe they got the snack card, they got a little too much popcorn. We could work with this.
Yeah, I would.
It was weird. I mean, what they had, and I talk about this a little bit on that DVD version, but, I mean, basically, I mean, before I even got in there, some crazy things happened, and I was, like, freezing cold, because they did it in sequence where I came walking down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing I ever did in the movie, and I was literally, my teeth were chattering. It was so cold. It was up in Park City, up in Sundance. Okay. I think that was filmed. Yes, it was. And oh my gosh, and so they were throwing blankets on me, and they had me do that I think twice. And then as I was walking into the trailer, I slammed my finger in there.
Ouch.
I mean, it literally, and they had to go grab ice and put it on my hand, and then the show must go on, you know. So I just, in pain, basically, when I walked into that thing for the time. So I, then
you
I
used it later on when you get your hand cut off for a sense memory.
It hurt more than that. And so anyway, I walked in there, and there's what's-his-face, and David, and that was the first time. I don't know, it was crazy.
So were they? Was there just someone like off camera throwing popcorn at you?
No, yeah. And so they said, "Well, here's our little machine that I guess they rigged for this movie."
Okay.
So
they made a popcorn machine.
Had us do the first thing, I guess, where I threw my leg up there, and then they had the scene where I threw him down on the bed, and so it just all happened pretty quick. And then they said, "Okay, now we're going to turn on this machine." And, you know, we are both just like, David and I are just like, "Are you gotta be kidding me?"
What in the heck is going on here?
That's what we're saying, too.
Yeah.
He was a poor kid. He was like an 18-year-old kid and just a sweet, you know, young boy. And so anyway, and then they, at the appropriate moment, I guess, they turn on this machine and it starts spurting out popcorn all over it. And then right in the middle, all of a sudden, the machine broke. We were saying, okay, and they said, "Don't move, don't move," in their Italian way. and we're going, oh gosh, and so we're partially covered in, and I think we both had the corn, you know. And we were just had to hold still, and we were just trying not to laugh, and we had our mouths on this corn. And I don't know, it took a long time, and they finally fiddled with it and got it working again. And so, awkward.
Just a bit.
I mean, awkward. And, you know, this sweet young man that I didn't even know.
You had mentioned working with, you know, the Italians, and, you know, how it was hard to get direction from them sometimes. And watching the documentary about the movie, it seems like a lot of your co-stars had something to say about working with Claudio Fragasso, who was the director. And watching him in the documentary, too, he seems like a pretty interesting character. So, I mean, how did you feel working with him, and what was that like?
Well, I tell you, I worked with him, and his wife was also present, you know.
Right.
And
she was the writer, wasn't she?
She wrote the script, and she was just a sweetheart. And I've got to say right here, I think she knew what she was doing when she wrote the script. I think she knew she was being campy.
Okay.
And then, of course, a lot was lost in translation, too, as well, which made it so crazy. But, you know, interestingly, he was gruff in his own way, but he was also sweet, and he's been extremely sweet to me since. But there were times where I actually, I don't know, you know, all I really noticed what was happening to me at the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I just stood my ground with him on a couple of occasions. And, like, he wanted me to swear at the end of the movie, and I said, "No, I'm not going to do that."
No one pushes around the troll queen.
No, not
the goblin queen, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, he said, "No, you must, you must, you must." And I thought, "Well, what are you going to do? It's the end of the movie." And I said, "Monsters don't swear in it, do they? You guys know. Do monsters swear?"
I've never heard of monsters.
I can't say I have.
No.
I mean, real monsters. You know, right. Maybe monsters that are... But anyway, I just said monsters don't swear, and so... Anyway.
Seems like sound logic.
Yeah, it's a good argument. Fair.
It was about before I was about to meld or whatever I did at the end. So I got my way, but there was another... He was trying to get me to slit my dress up even farther for the popcorn scene.
Oh, okay.
For that whatever, and I refused to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I basically just kind of... And again, you know, what could he do?
Well, good for you.
But I like Claudio. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, he's and there you go. Anyway.
Okay.
How long did it take for the film to... How long did your work take to complete, at least?
You know, that's really funny. I'm not sure. It seems that... Well, because Gavin's and my parts were on different days.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I don't even remember. It seems like it was about 8 days or something.
8 days.
Maybe not even that many days. I'm not sure it was that many days. I'd have to stop and think about it, you know.
That's still relatively short.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And because we were doing just mostly one takes, I think. I'm not sure about the other ones, but...
I got me guess that'll do it, though. Just one take. All right, absolutely. Let's go.
There you go. Honestly,
I don't know if they're trying to save film or do they just like that I was terrible. Probably they just, that was really bad. So, I mean, I don't know. I think they were going for good, and I guess they thought that was good. So, don't know. Anyway.
Well, I have to say, if I knew that I was going to be talking about a week of my life 20 years down the road, I don't know how I feel about that. But
I should just start taking copious notes about everything, just in case.
No kidding. Yeah, no kidding.
Week well spent.
I mean, yeah, not very many people are that fortunate, and I do see it as, you know, good fortune because look what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my favorite thing to do, if you've watched my commercials, I love to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my favorite thing to do. And, I mean, I've also written and produced a few... Oh, like musical comedies, you know, things like that in my day. And the most unbelievable feeling is to hear a whole audience laughing at something you've created.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oh my gosh, it's fun. And that's just sort of how I've lived my life. I like to have fun. I like to make people laugh. I like to make them smile. And so here I am over this movie, and I've had so many people say it's brought them just so much fun and joy.
Oh, absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
It's certainly brought us fun.
Yes, definitely.
And a lot of our listeners, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Also a little of existential grief, but mostly fun and joy.
What?
Just a little like, oh my God, what's happening? What is wrong with the world? But that generally passes when something silly happens.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
So, Do you actually derive from ancient druidic origins, or was that just an embellishment that they came up with for the film?
Oh, I do, yes.
Really?
Uh-huh, yeah. But a lot of it is I'm not allowed to speak about.
Right.
So it's... What can I say?
We won't share any druidic secrets.
You would get dethroned if you shared too many secrets.
I could say if I told you I'd have to kill you.
You'd have to turn us into...
I can just say if I told you, I'd have to turn you into a vegetable.
Okay, that's fair.
Fair enough. All right, and as our final question, this is a question that we put out to everyone. We came up with the concept of the Graz. We never fully defined it. It's just the Graz. So we like to ask all everyone we interview, what is the Graz, in your opinion?
The Graz?
Yes, it's Graaz.
We don't know what it is. We like to ask people more creative and funny than us.
It's a word that we came up with, and we thought, let's ask creative people what their vision when they hear the Graz.
When you just hear that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What comes to mind for you? What do you picture?
What do I picture? I hope you're editing this. Let's see. the Graz. I think I... picture nerds uniting everywhere.
Yeah.
Planet and every planet and interplanet.
The Graz. So the Graz is a big federation of.
It's a nerd alliance.
International.
It's a nerd alliance, and all of them at one time watching Troll 2. And then I have them where I want them, and they all become. Part of my minions. That's it.
So really, the Graz is like the new sphere of nerds everywhere watching Troll 2 at once.
Becoming their queen, their credence, Troll 2 Queen's Minions.
I like it. Works for me.
Under my power. That's what it is. Now it has new meaning. Now everybody everywhere will know what it is.
Certainly the most megalomaniacal answer.
Definitely.
I love it.
Well, Deborah, we really appreciate you taking time out of your life to talk with us. This was very interesting to get some insight from the Troll Queen herself. I know a lot of our listeners are going to be excited. A couple of my friends who listen to the podcast are super excited about this month's episode. And I have been really excited. Yes. We've all been really excited about doing this interview.
I've been talking about it for a long time.
Well, and as I've said, I have not, you know, through this whole thing, I've really only done, you know, a handful of interviews. And with you know, groups that were, you know, someone that I think is worthy.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for deeming us worthy.
Thank you.
And
I do. You're awesome. You really guys are awesome. And I hope everybody will join me on my Facebook page.
Yes, that's your Deborah Reed. You have a Facebook page, and you also have a fan page that people can like, correct?
I do. My Deborah Reed page actually has over 5,000, so I can't take more friends, but you can go on there if you want, and I think you can do something. If you ask to be a friend, then you become something on there. I can't remember what it is.
Oh, yeah, it's like you could follow them and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and that'd be awesome. But where I really like to do my troll stuff is on my fan page, and that's just simply facebook.com/troll2queen.
Okay.
We'll make sure to put that in the show notes so that people can find it.
And
I love interacting.
If you would love to interact with Deborah, go to facebook.com/trollqueen.
Troll2queen.
Troll2queen. And if you have any questions for us about the interview, or if you have anything that you want to say to us, please check us out. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to be...
We'll be back.
We'll be back. Thank you.
So, Deborah, again, thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Gotcha. You're dead. Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, that was awfully fun, guys, huh?
Yeah, it was.
It was. I like the part where I wasn't there.
Could you sound more insincere about that, Ed? You really? Well, that was awfully fun, wasn't it?
I legit thought you were going to end at the awful, the way you said it. Well, gee, wasn't that a laugh riot?
Enjoy it. I don't know why.
Let's get on to some more fantastic.
Well, boy, wasn't that fun? It definitely wasn't more fun than shooting myself in the face.
No, honestly, thank you, Deborah. That was a great interview.
Yes, it was. Gave us some great really insight into the inner workings.
Also, she gave me some cheesecake. I'm gonna take a couple of bites.
Ed, that's probably a bad idea.
No, do it.
No, Ed, don't.
Uh-oh.
Are you growing roots?
A little bit.
Good.
Why don't we go to break and then do that Comic-Con thing, and I'll take care of this, and then I'll be back.
All right.
All right.
All right, bye guys.
Death is coming, that is what you'll know. Gathering potions over fires. Playing songs upon the lyres. The druids draw a circle. In the circle, painted virgin. On the virgin, blood of goats and sheep. It is time, it is time. Sacrifice once, twice, thrice. The night of the druids.
And welcome back from that break, everyone. Just for this next segment here, we decided to switch things up a bit, and the role of Ed will be played by Derek Meterspaw.
Because I went to Comic-Con.
Yes, Ed, you did.
Yes, I went to Comic-Con.
Wait, Derek, you have to get into character more. Start acting like Ed.
Oh.
Here, I'll start talking, and then you can just keep...
Hey, you know this thing that happened? I went to Comic-Con.
Perfect, perfect. And,
now, hang on. Put on these comically oversized gloves.
And shoes.
And glasses that keep falling off my face.
And now start walking around and tripping over things right. that aren't there.
Wait. We're just being jerks.
Wait. If I were to...
I think we're ready.
We've got the perfect Ed here.
Okay. It's like he never even went outside to get some sun.
That's right.
All right, so yeah, we're going to be talking about Comic-Con right now, because New York Comic-Con 2012 was just a few weeks ago for us here on the East Coast, mainly in New York. And some of us went.
And
I know Eric is the most important person here, because he and I both had the greatest Comic-Con experiences of all.
Of course.
They were so great, we can't talk about
them. There's this one time I was on a website.
No, Eric, we can't talk about it.
Oh.
We were sworn to secrecy, remember?
Oh, yeah, I mean...
The princess
said
we couldn't tell anyone.
Didn't have anything to do with anything.
The princess said we couldn't tell anyone.
I just have one question for you guys about your Comic-Con experience. Where the hell did you get all that gold?
Classified.
Yeah. Let's just say it did not involve raiding a castle in Saudi Arabia.
Did it involve cream cheese?
I can't talk about that.
That's what I thought.
What are those piles of dead bodies?
Wow.
Classified.
Yeah. Like I said, the princess said we're not allowed to talk about it.
Well, why don't we move on to something that we can talk about then?
Sure. I mean, we have Meyer, we have Ryan, and we have Ed.
We should just call him Derek.
Yes.
Yeah, what if we tried calling Ed Derek?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
It's an interesting experiment. Let's go with it.
How about Ed Derek?
I don't like it. Let's just reverse Ed's name and then add Rec to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it would be... Derek.
Yeah, I like that better.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea, Eric. All right, so we have Meyer, Ryan, and Derek.
Derek.
That works. Okay.
Yes.
It's like a code or something.
No one will ever figure it out. They all went to Comic-Con, so, you know, what did you guys think? What was your favorite thing from the 3 days in the Jacket
I went
Center?
4 days.
No one cares about Thursday.
The media does.
Well, Meyer, why don't we start off with that? What did we miss on Thursday that we should have gone to?
Well, on Thursday, what I did, I just played a lot of demos, since it was the least crowded of the days. Mm-hmm. So that's what I spent my Thursday doing, playing demos and losing at Zombie U.
Yeah, I heard you suck at that.
I waited for like 20 minutes on Zombie U, and I died in 3 minutes. It's terrible. I was like, I turned to the representative, the Nintendo, who was this really cute girl. I felt embarrassed of being such a sucky player. And I was like, that was the worst. And then she tries to build my confidence. No, it's all right. You're okay. I'm like, listen, that was 3 fucking minutes, right? That was terrible.
Well, the fact that you got to play a demo after only 20 minutes of waiting sort of speaks volumes.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was,
the reduced capacity of Thursday.
And that was the longest line I stood in on Thursday.
Not bad.
Just in and out kind of things.
Good deal.
That's why Thursday was pretty good for me. Cause...
All right, but we will agree, Thursday's sort of like the quiet day. Nothing really took. There's no panels or anything. Nothing's really happening.
No, there was panels. There was panels, and there was also Ben Folds had a concert, but I didn't want to go.
So nothing anyone cares about.
I guess so.
Ouch.
The Muppets care.
Oh, that's true. So, you know, the main con starts Friday, goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So all of you were there those 3 days.
Yes.
What did you enjoy most about it this year? You've all been before.
Yes.
So what did you like? What were your favorite? Like, if you had to pick your top 3 favorite things, what would those be? We'll start with Ryan.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
No, let's start with Ryan.
Well, the one panel that I really liked on Friday was they had a Q&A with Christopher Lloyd. And I'd have to say with, you know, like all the different kinds of panels at these cons, when you get the Q&A, I would say about maybe 4/5 of the questions are just completely dumbass, stupid questions.
I believe the proper term is fucktarded.
Okay, yeah, I would describe them as fucktarded. Most of the people who asked Christopher Lloyd questions at this Q&A were trying to get him to quote from his movies, and some of the quotes they were trying to elicit from him were so obscure that even he didn't remember them.
How many people tried to get him to say "Great Scott"?
No one, actually.
Wow.
The first question that someone had for him was "What does a yellow light mean?" Which is his line.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's great.
Slow down.
He just says, "Slow down." Let's go to the next question.
And he actually did that with a guy for like 15 seconds before, I guess, somebody like got the hook and roped him off. But it was really interesting hearing him talk about his career as an actor. One of my favorite moments was someone asked him, I guess kind of an obvious answer, but someone asked him, if they remade Back to the Future today, who would you want to play Doc Brown? And his answer was, me.
That's a good answer.
And I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would be completely okay with that.
The thing about Christopher Lloyd I've always found interesting is that he's just so different than all the crazy characters he plays. He is so reserved and quiet. His interviews, even, like, if he he'll do interviews, like, when the Back to the Future came out, the interviews on, like, Today's Show, and they have all the cast, and he just kind of sat there and was like, okay, I'm just happy to be here.
somebody actually asked him about that and you know, said, how do you build these crazy performances, because you seem like such a laid back, reserved kind of a person. And he said, well, you know, I kind of look for the elements of the character that I understand and approach them through that. You know, some kind of a feeling or, you know, a reaction that they have that I identify with, and then I work out from there.
That's cool. So what else? I mean, Christopher Lloyd's Q&A. What else did you really enjoy?
Saturday, my fiance Allison and I went to a panel hosted by Chuck Palahniuk, and he read us a short story and threw autographed limbs into the audience.
That's cool.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Ryan loves his limbs.
I do.
It's almost as well known as Meyer's hatred of plants.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm certain is not going to come up again later on.
Yeah, well, no.
Not at all.
No way.
And then I would have to say my favorite part of the con was definitely the Firefly panel, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit later on.
The 10-year anniversary panel?
Yes, yes.
All right. Derek, your top three favorite things?
I'm kind of like an aberration when it comes to Comic-Con, because I don't go to the panels at all.
There's plenty to do outside the panels.
Yeah, whereas a lot of people spend all their time in the IGN theater,
be fair, they all spend a lot of time waiting in line
outside the IGN.
And we'll talk about that later.
I waited in line. Don't get me wrong. Friday, I went for one reason and one reason only, to meet Diane Franklin.
Did you?
Yeah, I did indeed. Diane Franklin, for those people who don't know, was an actress who worked in a lot of 80s movies, who then pretty much when 1990 hit didn't work ever again. But she did some amazing stuff she did Better Off Dead. She was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. She was in Terror Vision. She was in Amityville Horror 2. She was in a lot of movies. And I had a humongous crush on her when I was a younger guy. And so to meet her...
Wait, she was in Terror Vision?
Yes.
Who is she in Terror Vision?
She's the girl.
The daughter?
The sister, yeah.
The sister, and wow. Yeah. The one who had with John Grease, that's her.
That movie was awful.
Oh yeah, it's not the best, but
no, it's not.
It's not Troll 2, but you know, I mean, it's getting there. But I huge crush on Diane Franklin. So it was a heck of a rush to meet her, and she had a small line because, you know, it's Comic-Con, so she's not necessarily going to have the draw. So it was fun to actually hang out in line with a bunch of people who were big fans of her work too. So, you know, kind of all had the same kind of thing. Saturday, my entire reason for going to Saturday, I've only ever gone one or two days in previous years. This was the first year I went 3 days, and the only reason why I went on Saturday was one man, Booker T.
Yeah,
I am a huge wrestling fan, and Booker T is one of my favorites of all time, and I'm also a fantasy wrestler and a whole
favorites of all five times.
All five times. And the five time WCW champion met the one time FPW champion. I got my book and my picture to show for it, and it was that my entire reason for going and braving the crazy ass crowds on Saturday was to do that.
Wow, cool.
Sunday, I had to say my favorite part was Artist Alley, because I spent a lot of time in there on Sunday. and just got to walk around and talk to people who, you know, catch up with some artists who I've met before, talk to some artists who I have, you know, I hadn't met before. There's a guy who has a great book talking about wrestling. He has a great book. It's called Headlocked, and it's a comic book about wrestling. And it's basically, as he describes it, it's a cable drama about wrestling in comic book form. And it's a really good read. His name's Michael Kingston. It's a good book. And so it's good hanging out with him.
Cool.
Yeah. And if you, you know, just to watch the artist work, because I'll hang out and just, you know, guys will make commission requests and I'll sit there and watch them work. And I realize more and more as I watch these guys draw that I'm a writer for a reason.
Yeah, I've often felt the same thing. Speaking of artists, Meyer. Well, we are. I mean, you know, so you like being there on Thursday. Smaller crowds got to play demos. But what did you enjoy most from the con?
All right, I will pick one for each day.
Okay.
My first one was seeing the trailer for Pacific Rim
on Friday.
Yes, Guillermo del Toro was there for a panel, and he showed the trailer for Pacific Rim. And oh my God, it's just amazing looking. Huge robots fighting huge monsters.
Idris Elba screaming.
Oh, well, you can't beat that.
It looks... Oh, it gave me such a boner.
I think his exact line was, "We are canceling the apocalypse."
Yep. he's the only person I could see delivering that line and having it not be just horribly cheesy.
Mm-hmm. And Guillermo del Toro is one of my favorite directors ever, so he's awesome.
Yeah, he's got a great sense of humor.
And he's so creative and stuff.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro, if you happen to be listening, please make At the Mountains of Madness. Please, just do it.
One of my favorite parts of that panel was kind of toward the end. They did a little Q&A segment, and this guy comes up and he says to Guillermo del Toro that he's been a huge fan of his ever since he saw Mimic. And he and a couple of his friends had put together kind of a fan comic. And he said, you know, "Would you mind taking a look at our comic?" And, you know, without missing a beat, Guillermo del Toro just said, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to. I'd love to see it." And, you know, you could tell that he wasn't, you know, just showing off for the crowd. He wasn't putting on airs. He was genuinely interested to see what this guy had come up with his friends.
That's cool.
I thought that was cool.
I'm sure he's listening to our podcast right now. Yeah. He probably appreciates what you're saying.
And if he's listening, please send Meyer an autograph.
No, he is listening.
Okay. And get his interview. That'd be cool.
Yeah, give us a call. I mean, I think we could work him in, right?
Yeah.
Might have to push some things around, but I think we can do it.
Saturday, I decided to brave the line from last year. I decided I would not let the line beat me this year. So I got in that line, the IGN Theater, stood on there for 4 hours.
Wow.
However, they did show on the screen the panels inside the theater, so I can at least watch the panels.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they had a better setup this year for that.
Except the only annoying thing was that whenever they showed, like, trailers or teasers, they always would cut the screen, and I didn't understand why they would do that. But it was just... But... So, 4 hours, and then the last panel was Firefly.
Oh, my God, it was so...
And good. I got into the theater.
Did you get in, Ryan?
Yes, we were standing in the back, like as far back as you can go.
So the video I watched, the video I watched on YouTube, you guys were there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How long did you
I had to watch that? It on YouTube.
How long did we have to wait?
Yeah.
We got in line about an hour before the panel, and we didn't think we were going to get in. But a surprising amount of people cleared out of the theater after the Walking Dead panel ended.
Wow, sure.
Because I guess there's not very much overlap.
That's the main reason people live.
Yeah, people. I heard complaints about that. People were complaining about the fact that the Walking Dead guys were in the theater at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and stayed there. All day.
They did that last year too. For the Avengers panel, people got there like 6 hours early.
Yeah,
they camp IGN.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they would have cleared out the theater in between.
The Firefly panel was awesome. Nathan Fillion made a surprise guest appearance, and that was amazing.
Yeah, and they had
off the place.
They had Sean Meyer, who played Dr. Tam Simon, and
Jewel State,
who played Kaylee.
Yeah,
it was pretty. It was, and they were showing. They were there to show about the anniversary that episode that was going to be playing on History Channel, Science
November 11th, Science Channel.
So, for those of you brown coats out there, keep an eye out for that.
Oh, my DVR is set.
I like the Science Channel because it has an aide abroad called Pilkington, and called Pilkington something.
Oh, they put it on the Science Channel? Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh,
I got it.
All right, how about Sunday? What did you like on
Sunday? Sunday was my favorite thing was that, so between the main lobby and the artist alley was a hallway, and in the hallway was a Tomb Raider experience where you would shoot a bow and arrow, and so I waited on that line, and if you had the bullseye, you'd win something, and I got, so just to see how badass I was, I tried it, and I didn't get a bullseye, but I got close enough that a professional archer said, "You win the prize."
Nice.
And I was like,
"Well done."
Oh yeah. So I am now officially a Tomb Raider.
Officially.
Because I won the Tomb Raider experience. So that means I'm also Indiana Jones.
Oh.
So you have a friend who does badass in Indiana Jones, so there you go.
I also have to say that I tried the Tomb Raider experience, and do not go tomb raiding with me. it will not end well for either of us.
Okay. So if you guys had to rate this con, why don't we drive in reverse for this one? Out of 5 glorious deaths in battle, where zero glorious deaths in battle is where you run away like a coward, and 5 glorious deaths in battle is where it's so good you die and go straight to Valhalla, because we're really milking the Viking theme here. So, Meyer, what would you give it?
Let's see. I would say I had a lot of fun this year because last year I tried too much and I was just tired and angry.
Yeah.
So I would honestly say, even though it was much more crowded, I would say 4 glorious deaths in battle.
Okay. Derek?
Okay. I enjoyed the multiple days, so that's a good. I got to meet the people that most of the people I wanted to meet, which is also a good. I, however, got closed out of the Jason David Frank line every time I tried.
Oh.
So I'll give it 4. I'll give it 4.
As a follow-up for you, you said you never really go 3 days.
Yes.
Would you go 3 days again, or are you going to switch back to your not going 3 days?
There has to be a reason that make me go on Saturday. I don't want to go on Saturday. I just don't enjoy the massive amount of people. Fair enough. The problem is that Sunday is getting to be just as bad. So they are definitely, the show itself is outgrowing the facility they're holding it in.
Yeah. Well, Maya, how many people you said you found out?
Last year was 105,000 people. And this year was 116,000.
That's a lot of.
And you could sense the difference. They like poured people into Javits.
Yeah, Saturday was like if you go up into the show floor, you could barely walk. It was just
Plus they had lines for free signings and lines for artist signings and lines for this signing. So in the main hallway, you had 4 lines.
Yeah.
That were just standing there. On Saturday, I was one of them waiting for Booker T. And it was like, I was there at 11 o'clock for 1 o'clock signing. And I just stood in line for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then another line. And so you have basically an entire aisle down to one line of people trying to walk one way or the other.
Yeah. I remember last year, Ryan and I got them online. We didn't even know what it was for. So anyway, Ryan, what would you rate it?
I would have to go with my compatriot here and say 4 out of 5 glorious deaths in battle.
Okay.
I enjoyed myself about the same as I did last year, but like Meyer said, I definitely turned down the stress level. You know, I didn't plan as much. I sort of winged it a little bit. And it was much easier approaching the con that way without, you know, oh my God, this panel's at 1:30 and then this one's at 2:45 and I have to make it from one to the other.
Right.
It was a lot better.
That's cool.
And as for me, I would rate it classified out of 5.
Right, yeah, so would I. Because the princess said we can't talk about it.
Right.
But, I mean, classified is pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. Well, pretty damn classified.
Well.
We don't want to use too many words.
That's true. Classified is pretty damn classified.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an experience that I will not be forgetting soon.
Classified.
I am kind of interested to know, though, why Eric has a hook for a hand now.
Oh, no, that's fine. That was an industrial accident.
Yeah, that's totally unrelated. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
We stopped by a factory. And Eric stuck his hand in some of the machinery.
I thought there was chocolate.
There was.
Oh, there was further?
It was a chocolate factory.
Oh, well, why did they cut off my hand?
I don't know. You just, I mean, they had, like, conveyor belts of chocolate. You just stuck your hand in the gears.
I thought maybe the better chocolate was there.
It's going so long. No. We should just end this now. I'm just saying.
I've made a great mistake.
Okay. Your next conversation time, bores me.
Next time,
this segment.
Next time, smear your hand with cream cheese.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'd like to thank Derek Mutterspoor for his brief appearance as Ed.
Otherwise known as Ed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job playing Ed. Let's give him a little quiet round of applause.
Wait, that was Derek, not Ed?
Yeah.
Holy
shit. Derek, take off the oversized gloves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
see?
My.
Oh, see? You can see it.
Normal size hands.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
Bye, everybody.
Well, that was really fun, too, guys.
What is it with you and the mock sincerity tonight?
That didn't sound sincere. I'm sorry.
Wow. Did you get too much sun?
Maybe a little bit.
Plants always get a little heavy when they get high on photosynthesis.
That's why I fucking hate sun. I hate Ed.
I'm full of chlorophyll.
What a kill you, Ed.
Myers hatred of plants and Ed.
And not borophyll.
Literally, I'm going to come to your house after this podcast is over. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to let you on fire and just watch you burn. Okay?
That's pretty terrible.
That's pretty intense.
That's a great image to go out on, Meyer. I don't think our listeners want to hear that.
Well,
I don't care.
He's just a potted plant.
Yeah.
It's true.
What's he going to do? Grow?
Well, I guess it's better than feeding him to the goblins.
What's
the sun?
You know, he ruined
alive
my cream cheese joke.
Burning alive. I don't know which one's worse.
He just ruined my cream cheese joke and steamrolled me again. I'm down.
Are you with me?
I'll drive.
Okay. So let's finish this outro up and just kill him.
Yeah. Hurry up, Ed. Hurry up.
All right, guys.
Ed. Let's do this.
If you want to hear about my death, or if you want to hear the cream cheese joke, please post on our website, ragnarrock.com, or you could like us on Facebook. You could send us an email at info@ragnarrock.com, or you could give us a call at 516-362-6373. That's 516-362-NERD. Are you happy, Ryan? I remembered the number.
Wait a minute. Ryan didn't say it. What just happened?
I'm scared, guys. It's all right. The next time one of us hosts, we'll just ask Brian.
There could be only one. Now we have to kill it.
Oh, yeah, we do. I'm in.
Cemented your fate, sir.
Well, we're all going, Eric. You want to come?
I got nothing else to do.
Want to stop at the cheesecake on the way back?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, so we go to Ed's house, burn him alive, go to the cheesecake factory.
Yeah, and then we win, Jesse.
Well, can you go to the Cheesecake Factory first and bring me some cheesecake before you kill me?
Okay, better idea. We go to the Cheesecake Factory, eat the cheesecake in front of Ed in a mocking fashion, then burn him alive.
You're a thinker.
This is pretty terrible.
We get cheesecake.
And watch you burn.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go.
That's what you get for ruining my cream cheese joke.
All right, well, I'm Ed.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Eric.
I'm Meyer.
And I'm Alex.
This has been episode 27.
See you later, folks.
Peace.
Bye.
Toodles.
Les gens te regardent avec admiration. Toutes les soucis sont pas